I don't know what next year holds, but the Church of Jesus Christ is guilty of remaining little crybabies and refusing to grow up, refusing to walk in the Spirit, refusing to be led by the Spirit of God. It will cost us.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, good day and welcome. Last time in Pastor Bill's study of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, we learned that progress in the Christian life demands diligent effort. Today in part 2, we'll see that spiritual harvest comes from us doing our part. We must not be spiritually lazy, but apply ourselves to the resources God provides. Now, Pastor, with part 2 of The Third Warning, part 2.
However, the warning is not just written to the Jewish believers of the first century. It's written to every generation. So we have to throw that out. Amen? Okay. Now, what if, for example, if he was giving the reader a hypothetical situation about not going on to maturity? In other words, all the pronouns, and I understand and I respect all these different views, okay? Let me just give it to you. In other words, in verses 1 through 3, and even in 5, 11 through 14, it's using us, we, and so forth, okay? Which means believers. Even in verse 9 of chapter 6, you know, it talks about we're persuaded of better things than you. You is would mean a true believer in Christ. But here in verses 1 through 3, again, it says we, us, that means believers. But when we get to 4 through 8, those, them, and those are who or whatever. Now, we're talking about unbelievers. Well, there are those that believe that. I'm not going to argue with you about it, but I don't believe that. I don't hold that view. Now, because, you know, they fell away and they can't be renewed again or to repentance. But I don't believe that's what the text is teaching. Because, and then let's look at more pronouns, verses 9 through 12. We, you, each of you, that means believers. Now, can then a believer that is once saved, truly saved, born from above, can you lose your salvation? Because there are those today, in every generation, they're saved, but they don't know if they're saved. Meaning, am I really going to make it? I mean, because, you know, Lord, you know, look at me. Look, I'm not where I'm supposed to be and all those things. And hey, we've all been there. But you have to remember that justification is not a feeling. It's a fact. It's a divine fact from heaven. When you confess in your heart, if you're telling the truth, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, in other words, that Jesus is your Lord, God's promise, he says, I will save you. Just that simple. Now, but can you lose that then? Can God go, I made a big mistake when I got you? You follow what I mean? Listen, you cannot enjoy being saved. You cannot enjoy salvation if you're not sure about it. Do you understand? You know, I tell you, my brother who's in heaven, I have never met a person more certain of his salvation. You know, like we were driving, we ministered together, and he's a horrible driver. And, you know, and we drive back at night, 2 o'clock from we used to be in the tent, man, hello, you know, other crazy things like that. And he was horrible, and I was tired. And I said, what if you kill us? And he says, man, we're going to go home right then, Bill. Don't you want to go home? Let's die tonight, amen. I'm going, let me drive, would you? You know, just let me drive. You know, I mean, he was crazy. But he was ready. I want to go home right now. And boy, God took him one day. But listen, here's the thing. Loved one, listen. You can't enjoy your salvation unless you really believe you're saved. And it's a gift of God. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. You just have to believe it, okay? You can't lose your salvation like these people are teaching many scholars. And I love them. I'm not beating them up. That you can lose your salvation. Listen, here's the thing. Scripture is very clear. God only offers one kind of salvation. Only one kind. And it is eternal. It's not half eternal or maybe you're going to make it. It's eternal salvation. Amen? Hebrews 9:5, it says that Jesus, the author of our eternal salvation. Hebrews 9:12, it says having obtained eternal redemption. That's you and me. Listen, eternal life is not eternal if you can lose it. Amen? Amen. No, listen. So the reader, if the reader of Hebrews And that includes us. If we can lose our salvation, that means we're not sealed with the Holy Spirit until the very day of redemption. And it also means something else, that all the scriptures saying that we are saved eternally are not true. Let me just give you a few, because I could give you many, but just a few. Romans 1:8, therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Romans 8, it begins with what? No condemnation, no judgment. We are saved. Our sins are forgiven. No condemnation, and it ends how? With no separation. Nothing can ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 6:37, Jesus said, all the Father gives me will come to me. No one who comes to me, I will by no means I will ever cast him out. John 10:27, he says, about my sheep, I know them, they follow me, I give them eternal life. It's a gift. You believe in him, it's a gift. They shall never perish. That's emphatic in the Greek. They shall never, no, never, no, never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work will complete, will finish it until the very day of Christ. Amen. Now listen, that is the word of God. If that's not true, we need to leave right now and go to Luby's, but Luby's is no more, neither is salvation. Do you understand? We need to go eat, man. I'm just telling you right now, but I know that it's eternal and you're just saved. Now I want you to look at verse 7 quickly. Verse 7 of chapter 6. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it, it says it bears herbs that are useful. In other words, it bears fruit for those by whom it is cultivated. In other words, you work at it and work at it. We're talking about spiritual maturity, okay? You work at it. And it receives blessing from God. Praise the Lord. I want the blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, if it's unfruitful, nothing's ever done, it is what? That word means disapproved. It means disqualified. It's used for believers being disqualified from receiving rewards at the Bema Seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Now, not only is it rejected and near being cursed, whose end is to be what? Burned. Now, listen very carefully, because the majority of scholars, and I respect them, they say, this is talking about going to hell, Bill. In other words, burned, you're going home to hell for all eternity. I just don't see that. I'm sorry. Why? Because the author uses this illustration in verses 7 and 8 to do something, to describe the two possible outcomes of the believer, of the Christian. Do we all bear the same kind of fruit? In other words, no, or amount of fruit. Some 30, some 40, some 60, some 100. Amen? So we all, but at least we're bearing fruit, and that's what's important. Now, so what are the two possible outcomes in our context today? Well, the first one is this, those who press on to maturity. I'm going on. That's the whole theme of Hebrews, running the race, finishing the race, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. Amen? Is pressing on to maturity. So the two outcomes for the believer are those who press on to maturity and those who, and they do so by obedience, and those who willingly say, no, I'm not going to do it. They refuse to grow up. They refuse to mature. And listen, in verses 7 and 8, both the land was under the same conditions. The conditions weren't different for the briars and thorns. Do you follow me? Rain equally poured on both. So the conditions were the same. And not only that, it says they were near to being cursed. Loved one, God does not curse his people. Jesus became the curse for you and me. Okay, now, can you lose your salvation? I don't believe that at all. Not for one minute do I believe you can lose yourself if you're truly born again. But there is something that you can lose, and it should terrify every believer. Loved one, listen, you can lose something that is so precious. Now, listen carefully. Remember what the writer, why did the writer of Hebrews, he wrote them, it says, a letter of exhortation. In other words, he wrote this letter to them, not to discourage them, but to encourage them to what? Keep pressing on. Man, go on into maturity. He didn't write Hebrews to scare people to death or to scare them to death. Do you understand? Listen to me. If Paul, and that's who I believe wrote Hebrews, if Paul wanted to scare the people to death, the first century Jewish believers, he would have not used the word in verse 6, parapito, falling away. He would have used the word apostasy. Do you understand that? Because then they would go, oh my God, I can't get back. I've walked out on God. Do you see the difference? It wasn't written for that. Look at verse 6 with me again. Remember, parapito, fall by the wayside. Now, does fall away, does it refer to deliberate apostasy? I do not believe that for a minute. It's not even the same word. If you look up and when you get home, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I forget the verse, but it talks about in the last days about the falling away that's coming. That's the word apostasy, meaning they deny the truth and the church is gone. No, that's not what this word right here means. It means to fall along to the side. So, question, can a Jewish believer or any believer lose their salvation? No, they cannot. But they can lose so much by failing to go on to spiritual maturity in their walk in this life. Very important. I'm going to say something that's going to bother many of you right now. Refusing to mature in Christ Jesus. In other words, I'm going to stay a baby. I'm content in Christian 101. Refusing to mature in Christ, did you know there is no repentance available for that? You say, now, Bill, when I repent, he's faithful and just to forgive me. Yes, that's right. You know, you commit adultery. Oh, Lord, I say, yep, you got an advocate. Yep, you bet, but not in this one. Well, does that mean if I say, Lord, I'm not growing up, will you not forgive me? Of course, he will forgive you. But I'm not discovering my gift. He'll forgive you. But Lord, you know, he'll forgive you. But there's no repentance for that. You're forgiven. Your sins as far as the east is from the west. Listen, here's why. The Christian, the true Christian, has no excuse to not grow up. Not grow up. There is no excuse found in God's word to remain a baby. You understand, we have the Holy Spirit of God who takes us from glory to glory, and the only way to stop going from glory to glory is to be stuck in glory and saying, "That's I'm not going anymore. I'm going to refuse. I don't want to grow up. I'm not going to do it." So what am I talking about? I'm talking about when I said the refusing to mature in Christ, there's no repentance for that. That means this. You can repent all you want. Lord, I didn't grow up. I didn't study my Bible. I didn't have a prayer time. I didn't treat my wife right. I didn't raise my kids right. And God will forgive you. He loves you. He died for you. But there's no repentance for that. Well, what does that mean? Because it's going to cost you. That's the deal. That's why the writer of Hebrews said, you've got to move on. You've got to move forward. You've got to progress. Why? Because of the horrible loss that you and they will experience at the Bema seat of Christ. In other words, the judgment seat of Christ, the place of rewards. Are y'all with me? Yeah. Are you shutting me down? Oh, you're going to write me some bad emails. I feel it. Listen to me. Now, I want you to listen to me now. The context of our passage is not salvation or justification. The context of our passage is sanctification. In other words, justification, one-time act, past tense. I have been saved. Okay, sanctification, I am being saved. You see, sanctification is a process. Justification is a one-time act. It is not a process. Sanctification is glory to glory, adventure to adventure, into Christ's likeness. It doesn't mean along the way you don't have problems. It doesn't mean that here I'm going from glory to glory, but I still got a problem hanging on to me. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that you're going on, that you're moving on, that you're continuously, I'm going to keep growing no matter what. Listen to me now. To fail to press on to spiritual maturity and remain babes will cost you. It will cost you. Now listen carefully. The writer of Hebrews, if you really study out those 13 chapters, now listen to me now. The whole foundation of Hebrews is based on Cadesh Barnea. In other words, Numbers chapter 13 and 14. The whole issue, we're talking to Jews. So that is the foundation. And here's the problem. Now listen, the Jewish believers of the first century, what were they doing? They were doing the exact same thing that the first generation, the Exodus generation, were doing in Numbers 13 and 14. They didn't want to grow up. They didn't want to move on. And now the Jewish believers here are doing the same thing. Question, did the first generation, did they absolutely refuse to enter the promised land? Yes. Oh, the giants. We're grasshoppers. You know, man, listen, they refused. They didn't believe the word of God. They didn't believe that God was strong enough, stronger than the giants of the land and the well-fortified cities. They said, no, we're not going. We're going back to Egypt. You just want us to die in the wilderness, God. No, we're going to get some other leaders to take us. Listen, the first generation, did they lose their salvation? I've already taught that. Did they? No. Well, how do you know that? God's word tells us that. You study out Numbers 13 and 14. What happened? God says, I swear in my wrath, they will never enter into the promised land, the place of their reward. Moses comes to him. Oh, Lord, if you kill them, what are the Egyptians going to say? You know, what are they going to think about all this? And so Moses intercedes and God says, I pardon them. I pardon all of them. In other words, God says, I forgive them, but I will not relent. I will not repent. I will not change my mind. I swore in my wrath, they shall never enter into all that I promised them and had for them, the land flowing with milk and honeys, all the great things that God has. He says, no, they will not experience that. They will not taste any of that. Now listen, God forgave them. Amen? Let me ask you another question. Did God let them go back to Egypt? No. But God provided for them for 40 years, didn't he? For 40 years until they all died out. Loved one, listen, only two people. Man, think about that. They lost the privilege of entering into the land, the loss of their rewards. God is immutable. When God makes an oath, he cannot change it. He cannot relent. It's beyond changing. In other words, no matter what you do, repentance is not available. Now, let me explain that. Whenever Moses came to the children of Israel and said, okay, you guys would not go in. They were right there on the border. They could probably spit and there was the Jordan. Do you understand? All they had to do was obey God. And God said, I'm going. Your enemies are nothing. Only two people made it, Joshua and Caleb. Amen? Out of all those people, because they believed. Now, listen, I want to make sure I get my thinking and everything just exactly the way it should be right now. Moses comes up to them and says, you're going back into the wilderness and you're going to die there because God swore now. Yeah, you're forgiven, but you're not going to go into your reward. You can't do it. God says, I have sworn and he will not relent. He'll never change his mind. When he does that, it's unchangeable. And so what did the people do? What did they tell Moses? Read Numbers 14 and you'll know. And they go, oh, listen, we've sinned. Man, we've blown it. We repent of all of this. We're going to go up. We'll go into the land now. And Moses said, no, you can't do that. You've lost it. What? We've repented and he's forgiven us. God's forgiven us. And he said, no, you can't go up. If God's not going to go up with you. You see, God has sworn. And what did they do? They, by presumptuous faith, they went ahead and tried to go into the land and they got the heck beat out of them. Amen. For God was not with them. Did God love them? Had God forgiven them? Would God always be with them and for them? Yes. But they could not move into what God had for them because they refused to grow up. They refused that spiritual maturity, loved one. Listen to me. Refusing to mature in Christ, there is no repentance for that. Yes, God loves you. You can repent. Oh, God, forgive me. He will. But what does it mean there's no repentance for that? It means you're going to lose. You're going to lose. Remember at the end of verse 8, it says everything's going to be burned. Let me give you the scripture for that. 1 Corinthians 3:12. The Bema Seat of Christ, loved one. We're all going to be there. It says, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for that day will declare it. In other words, everything that we've done in our life, our works, not our salvation, that's not ever going to be judged. Jesus was judged for us. Amen? That day's going to declare it. Why? Oh, because it's going to be revealed by fire. Remember that word burned in verse 8? By fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work that he has built endures, oh, he's going to receive a reward. Lord, I did discover my gift. I did open my Bible. I did. I got away from being a baby. I even started leading this and teaching this and teaching the children and teaching my own children. And Lord, I developed. I kept going on. Well, you're going to get a reward. If anyone's work is burned, verse 8, remember? Burned, 6, 8, burned. Oh, he will suffer loss. Yes, you will. Yes, I will. But he himself will be saved as through the fire. Now, listen to me. See, refusing to mature in Christ, to remain a baby, there is no repentance for that. Yeah, I mean, you can say, Lord, I didn't do it. Okay, I forgive you. I love you. But I can't help you. I cannot give you what I had for you. I can't let you enter into what all these, look what I had for you, but you wouldn't go on. You wouldn't mature. Listen to me. We are in revolution. And then you say, Bill, that's just a word. I don't know how to define it, and I'm not, but I know how to declare it. And God, the word's over 30 years, he has never been wrong, what he's told me. Not one time. I don't know what next year holds, but the church of Jesus Christ is guilty of remaining little crybabies and refusing to grow up, refusing to walk in the Spirit, refusing to be led by the Spirit of God. It will cost us in 2024. Listen to me. You cannot learn to pray in a storm. You can't learn to walk on water or in the power of God in a hurricane. Jesus said, listen, he who heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. What is the rock? It's Jesus, but it's his sayings. And then the storms came, the floods came, the winds came, and that house didn't fall. You cannot build your life when everything falls apart. I don't know what's coming. I'm not trying to cause fear, but I'm saying I'm prepared. I'm praying every day. And God is every word he's ever given for this church has come to pass. I don't know what 2024 holds. I don't even have a clue, but I do know this. We cannot be guilty to remain as a baby. How do I get my strength on Sundays? That's it. I never open my Bible. Most of you don't even have Bibles anymore. You have apps. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body, whether it's good or bad. Listen to me. After tasting the people we just studied, those Jewish, after tasting all that they tasted, loved one, and after, look at us, after all the things that we've tasted, to miss the rewards. The rewards are not man's ideas, they're God's ideas. Can you believe that? He wants to reward you. And to say, no, I'm going to stay a baby. I'm never going to discover my gift. I'm never going to step out. I'm never going to serve. I'm never going to do anything. I'm saved. Yep. But you're going to suffer great loss. And I'm going to suffer great loss too. I know I have a lot of wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to be burned up. But I know I'm saved. But I want the rewards. I don't know if you watched the coronation, or what do you call that, the king in England, over there across the water. You know what I mean? Man, it moved me. I loved it, you know, because Jesus was mentioned over and over to the whole world. In the Bible, when they laid the hand on, I went, oh, that's good. You know, somebody sent me a text, said, I wish this would get off the air. I'm missing my TV program. And I said, what? Do you see that the name of Jesus is being shouted out all around the world? I said, what's wrong with you, boy? No, listen. And I saw all that pageantry and all the time, the entire time, all the robes and the crowns and all the rest of it. You know what I was seeing? I wasn't seeing the pageantry on earth. I was seeing the pageantry whenever in the millennial reign, when the temple is built and Jesus is on the throne and we are ruling and reigning with him for 1,000 years. That's what I saw. Angels. I'm going to see real angels, real cherubim. I'm going to have a brand new body, and I have rewards, and I'm going to be reigning and ruling with him. Are you? You see, if you don't grow up, you'll watch everybody move into their rewards. There's no repentance for it. Oh, God, yeah, okay, I didn't. Oh, God loves you, but he can't give you what he wanted to. He can't, because God can't lie. Saved, but no reward. Let's not be that way. Let's not miss the opportunity. Let's not miss that adventure. We're all going to be there together. Amen. Listen, I'm not preparing to die. I'm preparing to live forever. And that's what you need to do.
As we close, we pray the study today has provoked you to consider your personal spiritual maturity. Are you bearing fruit for God's glory? Well, the good news is, it's never too late to begin, amen? We want to thank you for your time today. Please join us next time as Pastor continues his study of Hebrews. Have a great day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.